don't have a quorum, so we won't approve the minutes. But we'll call to order. Any public comments? Anyone on the phone have comments? So seeing none, president's comments. I would say hang in there. We are getting through this, even though the numbers are still very high. In talking to my people that work in the ICUs, the people are sicker now. But looking overall system numbers for Aurora, we are coming down slightly for hospitalizations. So I think if we just keep plugging along, vaccines look very promising. Hopefully we'll get those going soon. And just have faith. Health officers' comments.
All right. So first, let me just look at the agenda here. I wanted to talk about the 2021 meeting schedule. We had talked about back in January pre-COVID. You need to dig back in your brain for that. Is about 2021 we would go to monthly. So the requirement is at least four times a year by statute. But certainly the discussion was that we could get the Board of Health more active in policy and with the health department, and especially the fact that we're in a COVID, I would like to see that we continue and start that officially monthly second Tuesday of every month, starting in January. So it'll still be the second Tuesday at noon and going monthly forward, if you're all still in line with that.
That's fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. And I know we talked about that a year ago, but now it's officially here already. So I'm excited to have see your faces monthly. And I did just want to bring up the Board of Health attendance in relation to our bylaws. Now, our bylaws have not been approved at the county board. If you'll recall, they got referred back to Human Service Committee. Human Service Committee met last week. They had no new comments or questions, really. And so it's going back to the county board. I don't think they'll be meeting this month, so that likely won't happen. And John, maybe you have input, so that'll likely happen in January.
January, for sure. You know, I haven't officially announced it yet, but there won't be a meeting in December 15th.
There will not be? Okay.
No. I believe that the two supervisors that had questions about it have had conversations with Corporation Council and some other people too, which was Terry Rose and Jeff Gentz.
Yeah, Terry Rose met with John Moyer and I, and Gentz talked to John Jansen. Although I'm not sure that both of their questions were completely answered, that they were on board. So I will ask that when the county board comes together in January, that we at least have a couple of you members on to advocate for the reason why we need these bylaws, how we're just modernizing. It's not a power grab with the health department, that we, you know, we need to, we also can't fill our vacant seat until we get these new bylaws passed. So we desperately need to fill that vacant seat so we can get more quorum.
Exactly.
So please speak up at that county board meeting to advocate for that and answer the questions that they have. So with the bylaws, our new bylaws, I just wanted to talk about now that we're going to be going to monthly attendance. And so I just wanted for the record to review in Article 6 of our new bylaws is attendance. 6.1, board members are expected to provide notice to the board through the health officer or their designee, which, as you know, you all go to Karen. If they are unable to attend board meetings in writing at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting, and reasonable efforts will be made to schedule meetings during times that work for all board members. We have not stuck to this policy particularly well, and starting 2021, and especially with the bylaws getting passed, we will. So typically people will email Carol Karen the morning of, and so that will now be considered an unexcused absence going forward. It's a 24 hours in advance notice. Then I just wanted to bring attention to Article 6.4, which states that board members who miss four meetings in a row or miss at least half of the meetings in a year, which would be six now that we're going monthly, will be referred to the county board with a recommendation that the board member be removed. So I just wanted to bring those to mind because I think in the past we maybe weren't as strict or clear on that. But we do want to have this Board of Health being active members who want to be at the table and participating and taking action items. And so we will be holding to that attendance. We didn't do that so well in 2020, or I shouldn't say we didn't do it so well, but we allowed exceptions that will not be allowed in 2021. So we'll be following much more strictly to our bylaws. Any questions on that? All right, thank you. And we do still have the one vacancy. The county exec had put forward a name, and that named person is now retiring. So they will be looking at another name to submit to the county board for filling that vacancy. So if you have any, you had all given me lists of possible candidates and names in the past, and I just turned those over to the county exec. If you have any new names for us to put forward, we can do that. Certainly, I would still like to ensure that we're meeting the state statutory requirement that our Board of Health meets the diversity of the community, and we're not there yet. So we need to make sure that we're meeting that statutory requirement as well, too. So that will be a huge consideration on who fills the vacancy.
Jen, is there any other area that we're lacking in that?
So I think the cultural diversity, I mean, we could still use Hispanic or Black members. And really when we're looking at the social determinants of health, that opens us up so that it's, you know, anybody could be from any one of those realms, such as fire, law, housing, transportation, education. So as long as they relate to us in some social determinant of health fashion and have an interest to be on the Board of Health, and we'll be passionate about health and a participative member, that's what we'll be looking for. All right, any questions on that?
Oh, Jen, it's Karen. I do think we have a quorum now. Rita Ventura's on and Mark Modry.
Oh, okay.
All right, so I'm gonna backtrack and have you all look at the minutes from November.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So now back to Jen for COVID update.
All right. And just to recap really quickly, 2021 meeting schedule will start meeting monthly, the second Tuesday of every month at noon. Virtually still, and that please pay attention to the revised bylaws as far as attendance requirements that we will be strictly adhering to. So COVID update, I've got a lot. So contrary to what Dr. Gerlach said, hospitalizations are actually up in our county between our two health systems. For I know that you were talking about an Aurora systems number, but Aurora in Kenosha County's numbers do not reflect what the system is reflecting. So between our two healthcare systems, our hospitalizations are up. We had plateaued between about 50 and 60 to 65 clients, COVID positive patients for the last month. And while that was the highest we've ever been, we sort of were steady at that level. And the last 2 days, we are up closer to 80. So this is literally just the last 2 days that our hospitalizations across the county are up. And could this be a reflection of Thanksgiving? This is about the time when we're now starting to really watch the numbers as far as the ramifications from Thanksgiving travel and visiting extended family members. So we're watching that data closely, but we are certainly seeing the increase in hospitalizations. a massive increase in deaths. We have had 12 in just the last week alone. We have had 88 since October 10th. And our future projections for this third wave of the pandemic is that we could see anywhere from 115 to 150 deaths by February 1st. So that's a pretty grim reality, is that, you know, we could have anywhere from 30 to 60, 70 more deaths before February 1st. So our Kenosha County Medical Examiner's Office has been overwhelmed. For comparison, in a normal month pre-COVID, they would have 120 to 130 investigations, and they would sign 20 to 25 death certificates. In October, they investigated 174 and signed 67 death certificates. And in November, they investigated 216 and signed 104 death certificates. So four times as many as they would see in a normal month. They have had to hire 2 to 3 extra staff to keep up with the load. The funeral homes are inundated. They're issuing cremation permits as fast as possible because, of course, only 2 to 3 people per facility can be cremated per day because of the amount of time it takes. So the system is taxed. Our hospital system is taxed, our medical examiner, our funeral homes, the entire system is taxed because of the increase in deaths. And there are many more that are coming through just over the past 2 days. So we're in a grim reality right now in Kenosha County. Our cases have come down just ever so slightly. We largely didn't have testing during the last half of Thanksgiving week. Our testing numbers have been low. Our cases have slightly come down. However, we're still in that red Harvard chart, way above the critical threshold. We're still so high that even though they're coming down, we're still having high numbers of cases. And we will watch this week to see if we continue to come down on that. Our percent positive rate has been steady at between 31 and 35%. That means 1 in 3 people that are getting tested in Kenosha County are positive. And that's just the people getting tested. So that is a not good percent positive number. As you've heard me say before, we want to see that down to 4 to 6% to know that we're able to control the virus. So that is some of the information data-wise that we have. Overall, in the region, hospitalizations are up 250% since the April peak, the highest hospitalization peak in April. So for the whole southeastern region, 250% higher for the region. And I mentioned testing is down. The National Guard has agreed to come 2 extra days. Their contract, if you will, has been extended through March 10th. However, they have new stipulations on testing. They will no longer, because of the winter, do tent drive-through testing. They want facilities so their staff can be warm and somewhat sheltered and inside. So we are having a very difficult time finding a facility that meets the National Guard's needs. For the next 2 Fridays, the Salem Fire Department is letting us use their drive-through bays. That is only for the next 2 Fridays. So we will no longer have National Guard testing at the job center on Mondays. We will have only 2 more Fridays out west of the eye, and then there will be a testing dearth without the National Guard unless we can find some appropriate indoor facilities. The Kenosha Community Health Center will be moving to their new location next week, which will double, hopefully, their testing capacity. The Modern Apothecary Kenosha Fire Department at Station 3 will continue on. Their pilot testing funding has been continued into 2021. So that will take up some of the vacancy in the testing. Aurora is still not doing community testing, and Frater South is doing very minimal community testing. And then we do have the UW Parkside antigen testing, which we have heard will be extended, but we don't know much further than that. So with these new CDC guidelines that have come out, they have suggested more people getting tested, and we're not going to have the capability or resources to test those that seek testing in the great numbers that we have been able to do over the past 2 months. But we're working on it in our countywide testing strategy. So we will keep the county hub updated as to any current testing possibilities. We're reaching out to new clinicians and partners all the time. And of course, testing will need to continue throughout all of a vaccination campaign. So we are still, there was a couple of days where we had to prioritize our disease investigations where we were not able to reach all the positives that were coming through that lasted literally all of 2 days. And since then we have been back to 100% reaching out to all positives doing disease investigation. Contact tracing is still minimal. We are not able to keep up with contact tracing. We have trained many, many partners, gotten many partners signed up with WEDS access so that they could, you know, school nurses, for example, that could help us with contact tracing. Our colleges, HR departments, we've trained many people on how to help us with contact tracing because we just don't have the resources and capacity to maintain 100% at that. Vaccine, a lot of flurry of activity right now. We have exponentially scaled up our vaccine planning, looking at the after action reports from H1N1 in 2009, crunching numbers, figuring out what we can do. Of course, there's not a whole lot of information coming out until the FDA approves Pfizer and Moderna's EUAs, the emergency use authorization. And we need to, for Kenosha County, the message needs to be, if we want to get our lives back, we need to reach herd immunity of 75%. Which is 127,500 people in Kenosha County will need to get 2 doses vaccinated to get us there. So we're doing an immense amount of planning. Right now the goal is to sign up as many partners as possible to get in the vaccination game. We're meeting this afternoon with all the fire chiefs and all of our fire departments to finalize plans for making sure EMTs who are in that 1A will get vaccinated. Obviously the 1A is really for hospital workers, EMTs, and long-term care facility staff and residents who will get taken care of through the federal pharmacy program. So every one of our long-term care facilities, except for 2 that we're still trying to work on, are matched up with either a Walgreens or a CVS to take care of their vaccination needs in 1A. Now, Wisconsin's only getting some 47,000 doses. And we don't know yet if they're going to parse that out by number of healthcare workers per county or by number of population. You can bet that Kenosha County is going to get very, very minimal. So with even within that prioritization, we're going to have to prioritize of who are the lucky ones that get it at the start. So there's a whole host of issues around how do we prioritize within the prioritization levels and who gets the vaccine. So immense amount of planning going on with that, in addition to all the disease investigation and all the testing strategy and everything else that we're doing. So the name of the game this week is we need to get as many partners signed up through the CDC's vaccine provider agreement so that this is not just a public health function. While we will have mass vaccination clinics likely in the late spring and early summer, we need all partners in the game for vaccination to help us reach that 127.5 number. So we're looking at businesses who have their own clinics, so they have clinical staff on board. We're looking at our post-secondary institutions and at schools and how can we get vaccine out to other groups through various measures. So there will be a statewide medical order that covers local public health. Dr. Gerlach will still be sending that to you for your review and, you know, either co-signature with exceptions or as is. And so a whole lot of work going on in the vaccine world there. Our schools, we have a good portion of schools that have gone virtual right now, and we can see that that could be contributing to our numbers coming down. As far as positives, we have an increased number of business complaints. Businesses not masking, that sort of thing. And now with the new city ordinance, we are able to submit warnings and citations if necessary. We were distributing masks and thermometers to people's doors throughout this entire pandemic. And we are getting to that transition point and with winter that now if people, whether positive or not, need thermometers or masks, they can pick them up at the job center. So we still have many available. We're just not doing the hand drop delivery. We have to bring back some of our resources because as I think I mentioned last time, we are trying to get all of our public health services back up to at least 80% by January 1st. So we will all still have a hand in COVID clearly, but we have hired 35 and we're still hiring more employees to help with the COVID response. So if you remember, our health department is about 60 employees and we've hired an additional 35 just for COVID response. And we're still hiring more. We have to get back to the business of public health. Our clients for our sexually transmitted infection clinics, our home visiting clients, several of our grant funders are anxious and nervous that we haven't been working on our grants. So we have to get back to the business of public health in the midst of all of this COVID vaccine testing, disease investigation, everything else that we're doing. We're heavily working on those transition plans right now so that we can figure out what is the easiest and best way to get us back to all the other functions of public health that have been largely neglected in 2020 while still managing the COVID pandemic. The last thing I just wanted to address, and then I can answer any and all questions for you, is we had talked last time of what can the Board of Health do? And I've given that a whole lot of thought, and I have a couple things that I just wanted to bring to your attention. Number one is just support for the public health staff. It has been 9 months of them working 7 days a week, 12-hour days. They are exhausted. They are burnt. They are spent. You know, we have hourly staff that have been able to get overtime. We have exempt staff who have been working 80-hour weeks for nothing, you know, more than their average salary. So was explaining to our local fire chief that imagine a fire that you've been fighting for 9 months and the fire just never goes out no matter how much water you put on it. You know, this is certainly beyond a polar vortex or a blizzard that, you know, you can plow out of within a week or anything. I mean, it's a long sustained crisis mode that the health department has been in. And it has been extremely, extremely difficult with no end in sight because now we have to do the vaccine planning. So any support of the public health staff, there have already been 14 health officers in the state of Wisconsin that have left their positions. And that's just health officers. Many dozen more health department staff who have left because it's just been such an intense ride this past year. So that was my number one, is any support of public health staff. My number two is really we have to prepare the community for vaccination. And as we know, there are vaccine naysayers. There are people that are very concerned that this is not safe because of how, you know, it was rushed through. We keep hearing that sort of thing. The FDA is currently pouring through the Pfizer EUA report right now. I mean, everything is being followed as it always has been. It is a safe vaccine. And even, you know, if the efficacy of these first vaccines are low, which they were not, they were at 90 to 95%, any degree of efficacy in vaccine would be better than no efficacy from not having a vaccine. We need to get out of this pandemic. And so I think that's where the Board of Health could really shine and help the county to really, you know, talk about how getting the vaccine can really reduce the risks of getting this virus. In addition, it makes it less likely to be seriously ill or hospitalized or even die, you know, by getting the vaccine. So we need that constant repetitive message that this vaccine, you know, is safe and we can get back to our economy and back to normal life the faster we can reach that herd immunity. So all those vaccine messaging for us to get back to normal is going to be necessary. So those were a couple things I just wanted to bring up. And now I've chatted for very long, so I will take a breath.
So Jen, one question I have is, do we have in Kenosha storage for the one that needs to be kept ultra cold, or are we just going with the other one?
No, we do have storage in Kenosha County. I do not know where the hubs are that they're originally storing it at certain hubs around the state. They've made a big point of having hubs in very rural areas so they can spread out the vaccine. I don't know where the hubs are in the southeastern region. We as well have the storage capabilities in the health department. So we're good on the storage aspect for both Pfizer and obviously Moderna and AstraZeneca. So we have the capability to store all.
And this is Rita. I just had a quick question about where is the Kenosha Community Health Center relocating to? Is it an indoor facility? I think I missed that.
Yeah, it's it's not public knowledge yet, but we're figuring out the liability and insurance and getting that all together. It will be downtown and it's a semi-indoor building, yes. So it will get their staff out of the tent at Gateway and it will be downtown.
Okay, thank you.
And I had a question, based on, if I heard you right, 47,000 doses of the vaccine, that's for the state, right? And we know that there's 72 counties in the state, and we know that Kenosha might be more populous than the average, but is it fair to say that we're probably likely to get less than 1,000 doses? And if so, does that mean only 500 people get vaccinated because it's a double dose? I just want to be clear on what that
means. Great question. Great question. Yeah, Wisconsin is getting exactly 49,725 doses. The feds are keeping an exact amount of that behind for the second doses. So that means 49,725 people in Wisconsin will get vaccinated and their second doses are waiting for them. So they will ship those if a 20-day mark or whatever when they're able to get them.
And Jen, what are they thinking is how long is it before they'll get an additional allotment in the state?
We are being prepared to get a weekly shipment. So when I say we, it doesn't necessarily mean just public health, the hospitals, the pharmacies for the long-term care facilities. So a weekly shipment. How much is in that shipment has yet to be seen. So as soon as they get their EUA approved and ACIP puts out their recommendations, things will start getting into production much faster. It's going to probably take, we calculated the numbers though, it's probably going to take about 3 to 4 months to just get our healthcare workers vaccinated by the time we get enough vaccine and the two doses, and we look for adverse events, and there's some side effects to this vaccine. I don't want to give it, you know, to all one unit in a hospital and then knock them all out, you know, for a couple of days. So it's going to take a few months. 3 or 4 months to sort of even just get phase 1A. So the general community will not be able to even get vaccinated. We're projecting until late spring or summer by the time we're able to open these mass vaccination clinics. And we haven't received the guidance yet of who all is, you know, even officially in 1A and 1B and 1C. You know, eventually then it'll be essential workers. We're already receiving calls from dentists and chiropractors who are saying, well, we're healthcare providers. Are we included? And the answer is no. Even in our firehouses, EMTs will be able to get the first, but likely not the other fire staff. So even in a fire station, there will be a divide about who can get it and who cannot. So, and again, this is not official because we haven't received the official words yet, but that's what we're hearing today. So we will be following the guidelines that come out from our State Disaster Medical Committee and ACIP to the T. So we're trying to also get that message out because in H1N1, our phones were inundated with everyone wanting the vaccine because they had whatever reason they had. And the party line is we will be following the guidelines. Even our health department staff is not going to get it because we, you know, our clinic staff may eventually in 1B fall into that, you know, because their clinic staff, their frontline clinical workers working with clients, the rest of the health department will not, you know, so it's we're going to follow that very strictly with special favors.
So this is Diane. A question I might have is, because we don't know how long immunity lasts, what is our message to the people who have tested positive, two had symptoms but never really got tested, about getting the vaccine?
So everybody, even anybody with COVID is supposed to get the vaccine. And we are now seeing, we have several dozen people who are reinfections. So it's definitely that 90-day immunity. We are seeing people, anybody from day 85 to day 102 that are getting reinfected with COVID. And we're also seeing when they get COVID a second time around that their illness is much worse. And that has been around, you know, I've talked to several health departments throughout southeastern region around the state. We're definitely now starting to see more and more reinfections. So the state guidelines is 90 days. We literally count 90 days. And if it's after 90 days, we start the whole process over with isolation and quarantine of close contacts and all of that. If it's before 90 days, they don't have to follow that because there's assumed there's still some level of immunity. But all should get vaccinated, regardless of how many times they've had COVID or been tested or for sure or not.
Can I ask a question about the testing facility? What exactly do we need for the National Guard? And is that something that I'm assuming that the county has like looked at their own buildings? Have we talked to, you know, community members? I'm picturing some of our giant warehouses, you know, have we talked to the city, you know, like a bus barn type of thing? You know, what exactly is needed and how can we work together as a community to find locations so that we can have testing?
Yeah, so Mark Melotic is our logistics chief within our incident command structure. He's been talking to the city, he's been talking to businesses, the community health center has been helping us because they as well too were looking for a facility indoors. Of course, that doesn't mean we've hit everybody. So if you have suggestions of businesses, please get them to me or Mark. But then we may get to that point of where if there's facilities we're missing, you know, a warehouse we maybe don't know about that we'll need to put out that community call. We're still in several contact with several businesses that we're waiting for word on. So we may get to that point where we need to put out the community call to say, we need help. Please find us a building that's drive-through so that the National Guard can stay warm, because they will not be doing testing from a tent with plowing and the freeze and everything else. I mean, you can understand why, so.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Mark. The Modern Apothecary site is a former fire station. And if they're only using that once a week, why can't the National Guard go in there and use it on another day? And also the city has another vacant fire station at Washington Road and 22nd Avenue that has the same thing back to the front part.
So station three is not a drive-through. So that is sort of, that would still be considered an outside facility. Modern Apothecary and the fire department are operating that under a tent right outside of station three. The other fire station has some safety issues with flooring. And so we can't have drive-through cars there either. We have looked into both of those.
Okay.
So that's a lot. Your health department is surviving by a thread.
Jen, just kind of a bizarre one to think about is, what about a drive-through garage like a mechanic shop?
We've looked at vacant car washes. We've looked at vacant oil change places. We've looked at barns at the state fairgrounds. We have tried to figure out any and all possible, if people have private barns or anything, we will take anything. So I don't have the full list of all who Mark has been talking to and trying to work with, but if you have one, send it our way.
Hey, we'll Jen, look into it. There's a barn that the school district owns on property that they bought years ago that's on 41st Avenue at about 17th Street. And that's been used to store snowplows and things. So if then they take them all out during the winter. So you might want to talk to the school board or the school district about that property.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Anyone else with any creative ideas? All right, thanks, Jen. Corporate Council report?
Not much to report. I've been working with Jen and the health department generally. I appreciate very much everything they've done and their continuing work. It is exhausting, I know, and thankful for all that you do. You know, more of the same. I do know, and I've learned what everyone already knows probably, is that no matter what decision is made, whether it be about schools or masks or closures, there's always going to be a large number of people that are very unhappy. So it's been tough, but I don't have anything specific to report unless someone has questions, but I appreciate what the health department is doing under difficult circumstances.
Any other questions or comments? One question, Jen, I just thought of, are most of the staff, public health staff, working remotely, or are they in the building?
The vast majority of us have been working remotely. I mean, several of us go in several days a week, the supervisors mostly, for more of a presence issue. And, you know, we've had staff that have not, we've had staff, this is the same with any business, right? Some staff are super productive because they're working at home, and some staff are really craving that social connection of being at work, even though we're fully masked up and staying way far away and we're not meeting in conference rooms or anything like that. So, so we have had to adjust where some teams come in one day a week to sort of staff the office or, you know, various things of that. But I would say 2/3 are mostly working from home. Managing a 100-year pandemic from home while being socially isolated from all of their peers. And yeah. And they've been doing a knock-up job with it. So I could not be more proud of this health department staff.
I was just wondering on ways to help to support them. Because like in the hospital here, we have people that will send in food. But if you're working remotely, you can't really do that.
Yeah, kind of.
And a gift certificate for a restaurant isn't quite appropriate right now. Unless it's a takeout.
And do you have any suggestions of how we can support the staff a little bit better?
You know, it is hard, right? I'd like to say food or a gift certificate to a restaurant, right? You know, I think first and foremost would just be even, you know, reaching out with a, you know, words of encouragement that we could certainly forward out to all staff, or a video message or anything like that. Would go a long way. You know, public health is used to working with very little, and so it doesn't take a lot to make them feel good. They're used to making lemonade out of lemons, so you know, that might be a start.
This is Mark again. John, have you been on any of the local radio stations, WLIP or WGTD, like with maybe a weekly update? All this information you just gave us is fine, and I think the public needs to know about it.
Well, I mean, I talk to the Kenosha News almost every day. I talk to Dave whenever he calls, and yeah, I mean, we're putting out, you know, obviously if the public hasn't learned that I'm a very transparent health officer. We don't hold any information back. We put any updated data on the County Hub website as soon as we get it. So much of this has already been shared in some fashion or another. If we're reaching the right people, that's a whole nother question, right? Of who's reading what news reports or on what radio station. So, that's a vast majority of my time is trying to get the messages out.
What about, does anyone have a connection with the, oops, I'm sorry, Mark.
That's okay. I just find the Kenosha News to be worthless. On my block, one person gets the newspaper and it's me.
I was just wondering, does anybody have a connection then with like the newspaper, local radio stations that we can just like have a shout out thank you to some of the public health workers?
You could definitely be on the Frank and Kim Carmichael show, which is on WLIP every day, Monday through Friday. I'm a guest on there like twice a month on a roundtable discussion, and I've have talked about the COVID numbers and the health department, but he would definitely love to have you on 15 minutes. You could do a half hour. I would contact Frank Carmichael at Happenings Magazine.
It might just be something we could do as a group or something. I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah.
All right, anything else? Can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Stay safe, everybody.
Yep, thank you.
Happy holidays.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. All. Bye.